Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for blessing us with your presence on Sabbath day. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us from all unrighteousness. Thank you for giving us the courage to stand firm in Christ, even when it's difficult for some hearts to do so. But you know our hearts, and you always guide us day by day, and we thank you for that. Please bless us with the latter rain and the faith that moves the mountains, so that you and you alone are being glorified. And let the message that we put forth be watered, the many seeds that we have planted, so that many more souls will come into the truth as we see the prophecies fulfilling quicker and quicker with each passing day. And we again lift up everyone that's on our prayer list, Father, especially those that are lost. We have some that are in the hospital at this point, and we pray, Father, that you heal them and you keep the doctors well focused. And we lift up all these prayers unto you, in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. And amen. Okay. Sabbath blessings, everyone. And to any new people that are here, it's kind of hard to tell. There's no guests that I can see, but we may have a few more people in here than normal because the radio's down. And never got a chance to call the electric company yet, but we had 5 or 6 power surges in like, 5 seconds. Actually, less than 5 seconds, 1 or 2 seconds, and it was just on and off, on and off, on and off, and it blew out the radio server. So, praise the Lord, the websites and everything else is still working fine. So, where did we leave off? And for those of you that are new, if you want to follow along in the notes, up on the top there it says Sabbath Study Notes. You just click it. It'll bring you to the notes. And you won't be out of the room. It looked like you fell out of the room, but you didn't. You'll still be able to hear. Okay, so number 14 is where we left off. I'm pretty sure I got that set up on there. Yep, number 14. And the question is, which day does the Lord claim as his? And it says, Isaiah 58:13. It says, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, well, then, of course, you'll be blessed. As is obvious, I trailblazed a little bit on the last question in regards to using that passage, but that was last week, so. But the thing I like about this is so many declare that the Lord's Day is Sunday. And the only reason they do that is, and a lot of people, and I never even knew this until after I left the Catholic Church, but the Lord's Day, it was a term that was put out there first by pagans thousands of years ago. And when the Apostle John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day receiving the revelation, they claimed that he was in the Spirit on Sunday, and because he was receiving the revelation after the cross of Christ. But the truth of the matter is, the Bible never changed the Sabbath. And so Isaiah 58:13 actually confirms that the Sabbath is the Lord's Day. But because the Catholic Church embraces paganism, and they have taught their congregants to do the same thing, it was easy for them to claim that John was in the Spirit on Sunday, because everybody in those churches believed that the Lord's Day meant Sunday. This is what always gets me about people today, especially today. being the last days as it is, there's so much evidence out there that the governments of this world alter history books. You can see it right here in the United States of America, especially if you're in your 50s and you paid attention in class. You know, I paid attention to some extent, but when I got into high school, I stopped paying attention because of what I saw happening in history class. I thought, why am I letting people teach me lies? And I only stayed there. I didn't want to ruffle any feathers, and you know, I didn't want to, because back in the when I was a teenager, yeah, kids were quitting school and stuff like that. But you know, you didn't. It was difficult in my family. Yeah, I wanted to quit high school, but my parents wouldn't allow it. Although I did eventually end up leaving, but I was forced out. They expelled me. But my point is, when I was a young man, and then especially when I started driving, because my mother used to make me drive her to the library every week. She would pick up anywhere from 7 to 10 books, novels, and she would read them every week. She was an avid reader. And so I was stuck with the job of driving her to the, because I was the only one in the family out of the teens. I was the oldest boy that had a car, and my mom never learned how to drive. And so I did a lot of research. And I went into the old books in the library. It was in the Oak Lawn Community Library. It was kind of like a big city library. It was two stories, the whole nine yards. It was a huge library. They even had microfiche in there. So, and I felt like, oh, it's like sitting at a computer. So I would go through those old microfilms. And it was amazing how I saw what I learned earlier in like grade school in regards to history and why this nation was started and whatnot. And I saw how it was taught in the schools in the late 50s, early 60s, the schools that I went to anyway, in the Chicago area, you know, the south suburbs, was that this nation was started because of religious persecution, and the people came over in the Mayflower to escape that, and then, of course, the Tea Party thing with the taxation and all this other stuff. But today, they don't say that. They say now that the people left the other nations because of taxation. They're tagging the Tea Party situation on the Mayflower, which isn't true. People aren't going to leave, you know, England and all those other, you know, nations and risk life and limb with wooden ships over the Atlantic to come to the eastern shores of America and possibly die, because some of these people did die crossing the ocean, for 0.5% of taxation. It was 0.5%, like 0.5% taxation. There's no way. But no one in my history class when I was in high school doubted it, because their teachers were teaching them this. And so I had evidence for, you know, firsthand. This is okay. When I was going into libraries and then when I was being taught in grade school was the truth. And I also look in history now and I see, yeah, America was started because of the Catholic Church killing people. And so the Christians wanted to be able to worship God without any religious persecution whatsoever, and they came to this nation. And so when we got to high school, it was totally different. And so you look back in time and you see how things have changed and the way the governments have been able to convince people that history isn't history, their fiction is history. And this has always bothered me when I try to, you know, especially try to explain the prophecies of Antichrist. Most of those things have been hidden in history, and those books have been burned. And this is one of the reasons for Bibles being burned and stuff like that. And now they couldn't get past, they can't do it anymore, of course, the Bible's out there. But now what they've done is, of course, you got the bogus Bibles, like the NIV, the NASB, the Douay-Rheims, and all these other Bibles. They figure they'll just flood it out there with confusion. And that's one of the prophecies, of course, Babylon being to mix, you know, truth with error. And that's why you see what you see today. Most people will believe anything they read in their newspapers. They'll go to Sunday-keeping websites and believe that. They'll go to atheist websites and believe whatever they're saying there instead of just going into their Bibles and seeing what God has to say. And the truth of the matter is, there isn't a Bible verse from Genesis to Revelation that says the Sabbath is Sunday. Not a single solitary verse anywhere to be found. In fact, every Sunday-keeping denomination on earth still admits to this day the true Sabbath still is the seventh day. And this is now why you're seeing calendars changing. So, anyway, let's go to the next question. Which day is the Sabbath of the Lord. And that, of course, being Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11, which in the Bible is the fourth commandment. But if you go in Catholic theology, like the CCD books and stuff like that, you'll find that this is the third commandment. And because the prophecy said in Daniel that the beast will think to change times and laws. And those laws are not just the laws of man, it's also the laws of God. And so they removed commandment number 2 from the Decalogue of the St. Joseph's General Edition CCD books, you know, Catechism of Catholic Doctrine books. And I know I used to teach from that book. And so that second commandment ain't in there. And the main reason being is, for the same reason they took out Acts chapter 8, verse 37, which says you have to believe Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and repent of your sins, and then you could be baptized. Well, babies can't do that. Pagans baptize babies. Well, they don't really baptize them. They sprinkle them with water. And so since a baby is being baptized in the Catholic Church, they removed that verse. Well, the same thing is why they took out commandment number 2 that says you shouldn't bow down in front of statues. There's nothing wrong with making a statue. Nothing wrong with it at all. I mean, there's nothing wrong with making those... look at on the Ark of the Covenant. You got the two cherubims, okay? And so there's nothing wrong. It's when you bow down in front of those statues is the problem. So they took commandment number 2 out, which calls all the other commandments to roll, to roll up, to rise up. So commandment number 4 became commandment number 3. Anyway, let's read commandment number 4. I'm going to read it all, not just verses 10, like it says here in the... In the study, I'm going to go for verses 8 to 11. It says, remember, oh, and by the way, that's a prophetic statement, but anyway, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. In other words, the cable TV guy comes up. Well, you shouldn't have cable TV to begin with, but let's just say the cable TV guy comes over. No, you can't work in my house on Sabbath. Or, whatever. You can't have people come over in your gates, it says. I mean, they can, like, if you rent the house, you can't stop them from doing it on your land. But they can't come in the house on Sabbath. Even the landlord can't. And my wife and I can attest to that. They will listen. They'll be nice. Most of them, anyway. Anyway, it goes on to say that, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So, as we can see, the fourth commandment is rather obvious. I mean, and that's the reason I share Isaiah 58:13 in regards to the Lord's day being stated in Scripture that it's the Sabbath, is because most people don't believe Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11 anyway. They say, oh, yeah, that's the Sabbath. We all know that. It says there that it's the Sabbath of the Lord, which means the Sabbath is really the Lord's day. But they don't want to hear that. They've been taught and taught and taught over and over and over again that the Sabbath can be abolished. It can be changed. So I go to Isaiah 58. It says, well, then get around this one. So, again, as I was saying, we're not to do any of our work upon the Sabbath of the Lord. I mean, nothing we do should ever violate this holy day. Yes, it is understood that there are emergencies that do arise, but the Lord has allowed for that as well. I mean, in Luke chapter 14, verse 5, as well as other areas of the gospel, it says, if there's an emergency, your ox falls in the ditch on Sabbath day, you pull them out, right? But here's the other toss of the coin. People say, they're scheduling me because they couldn't get anybody else, but and that's understandable if there's an emergency, but they're doing it every week. That's no longer an emergency. In other words, if I happen to own an ox, and every Friday afternoon, right before sundown, I see that ox moseying towards that ditch, and he does this every Friday, well, guess what? I'm tying that puppy up a few hours before the sun goes down because I know where he's headed. But if he catches me off guard and he falls in the ditch on the Sabbath day, I'm going to get him out of there. I mean, this day has such a powerful meaning that it was made the centerpiece of his law. It's where his seal, his sign, signed, sealed, and delivered, that's where it is. But if you look at the Sabbath of Rome, you will see that Sunday is usually made a day of feasting and pleasure-seeking. Rome doesn't care if you break their Sabbath. All they want you to do is acknowledge it over and above the one that the Lord gave. That's all they want. I mean, in fact, they even stated in writing long ago the following words, and this is out of their Convert's Catechism of Catholic Doctrine on page 50, the third edition, the one I used to teach from. It literally says this, question, which is the Sabbath day? Because all this book was, when I got it, this is where I found out that the Catholic doctrine is 86.2% pagan. And I know it's 86.2% pagan because I read this entire book. I used to teach from it, like I said. And then I calculated how many times they used a Bible verse to answer the question. And I fudged the numbers a little bit for their favor. And what I mean by that is, when they mentioned Jesus, I gave them the benefit of the doubt, or the wooden cross, or Mary, and stuff like that. You know, basic realities that, okay, that's from Scripture. Even though they didn't use a Bible verse to back up what they were saying, they mentioned Jesus or Mary or whatever, right? So anyway, question. Which is the Sabbath day? Answer. Saturday is the Sabbath day. Question. Why do we observe Sunday instead of Saturday? Like I said, you know, this book was just nothing but questions and answers for Catholics. And then the answer is, we observe Sunday instead of Saturday because the Catholic Church, in the Council of Laodicea in AD 364, transferred the solemnity from Saturday to Sunday. And that's, again, from the Convert's Catechism of Catholic Doctrine, page 50. And then they also stated in, a priest by the name of Enright, with the title CSSR after his name, and he's from the Redemptoral College of Kansas City, Missouri. And this is his book that he wrote called The History of the Sabbath, and this is what he says on page 802. It says, the Bible says, remember that thou keep holy the Sabbath day. The Catholic Church says, no, and he puts it with an exclamation point. Right? And then he says, by my divine power, I abolish the Sabbath day and command you to keep the first day of the week. And lo, the entire civilized world bows down in reverent obedience to the command of the Holy Catholic Church. And this is why you also see what happened with Copeland 2 weeks ago. Kenneth Copeland allowed the Pope to speak to all the people that were in his congregation, and those weren't church members. I did the video about 2 weeks ago where we show Tony Palmer, a bishop, standing there who was a personal friend of Pope Francis, getting up there and telling the people that the protest of Luther is done. And he used one piece of the 95 thesis to prove it. He only gave one option. In other words, calling Jesus, Jesus, whatever, more or less, calling God sovereign or worship, worthy of worship. But he didn't mention the other 94 reasons that Martin Luther hung that thesis on the door. He only mentioned one, and everybody applauded and said, yes, we are all Roman Catholics now. Now, those weren't church members. There were thousands of people sitting there, yeah. I think it was like a 5,000-seat auditorium that Copeland's churches. That was a convocation for church leaders. Those were all pastors that were sitting there. So these guys are going to go across the nation and across the globe and declare, we are all Roman Catholic now. And that's why you saw a few days after that, that big church in Sweden, the mega church in Sweden, the pastor and his wife stood up before their congregation and said, we're Roman Catholic, we have converted, and they all applauded. And so it's happening just like we, you know. But anyway, let them have this. And let them have their Sabbath. I mean, as for me and my house, we will love and serve the Lord. Our Lord moves his people upon the Sabbath day to truly keep it holy. In fact, it is on this same day that the Lord himself and all the occupants of heaven right now are gathering to keep this day holy. I mean, would it not make sense to unite with them on this day as well? I mean, even the Sunday-keeping theologians do admit. And this is what's really strange about their theology, because I've asked the questions of them. I says, okay, so before Jesus gets here, what day was the Sabbath? The seventh day, they say. Okay, now after Jesus is ascended and resurrected, they say that immediately after it became Sunday, even though there is no scriptures to back it up, there's no historic record even. It wasn't until 321 A.D. that Constantine said Sunday's the Sabbath now, and we just learned from this other book here that it wasn't until A.D. 364 that the Roman Catholic Church admits it was at that time they transferred the solemnity from Saturday to Sunday. The year 364. Okay? So that's over 330 years after Jesus already ascended. Right? But these guys ignore this. And then I ask him, okay, so what is the Sabbath day when we get to heaven? They go, seventh day. All right, so what you're saying is, before Jesus gets here, it's the seventh day Sabbath. After he leaves, we all go to church on Sunday, and then when we go back to heaven, we go back to keeping Saturday holy, right? And he goes, yeah. I says, doesn't that sound confusing to you? Why would the Lord thy God, who changes not, according to the book of Malachi, change his Sabbath? That literally makes him a liar. That shows him and his Bible to be contradictory. It doesn't make sense. I'm not going to worship a God that's confusing like that. I'm going to worship the God of the Bible. He doesn't change. And yes, the minute you decide to obey the Lord and do what pleases his heart, Satan will be angered, and he will do all he can to force you to change your mind. Everyone you love will come against you. They will claim the words of love that you share are actually words of hate. I mean, they did the same thing with Jesus. They did the same thing with 500 million Christians that were burned alive. They did the same thing with when Mordecai refused to bow to Haman. They did the same thing with Daniel when they threw him in the lion's den. They did the same thing with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they threw them in the furnace. So why would they do this? Why would it be any different for us? I mean, everyone you love is going to come against you, yeah. Co-workers will ridicule you. Friends are going to mock you. Even the authorities will do all they can to stop you. Did you see that other video I put up the other day? Roman Catholic civil authorities in Mexico have cut off the water and have cut off the electric power from all the Protestant homes in that region that refused to take part in the Catholic ritual of selling and making posh. It's a fermented drink that they do this every year. A few years ago, back in 2003, I think it was, I did a radio thing on this, because they did it back then too. They actually burned people's homes down, burned their livestock alive, beat one man to death, and then burned his dead body, because he refused, like the other Christians, they refused to take part in the drunken debauchery. So, they're going to ridicule you for becoming Christians. But amen, we ought to obey God rather than men. Acts 5:29. So you're going to experience the tribulations, you're going to experience the ridicule, you're going to experience the persecutions like never before. And here is where God's people will find the cross they must bear in life. And it's going to get a lot worse. And this is one of the reasons I'm doing the sermon today about why we left Babylon. And I'm even thinking about doing a sermon next week about Sanballat. Because Sanballat is popping his ugly head up all over the place here in all sorts of different ways, trying to get the people of God confused enough or off the path to get them thinking they got to do this or got to do that instead of actually doing that which the Lord would have them do at this time. So I think, do we got time for one? Yeah, let's try to do one more here. Number 16. Okay, number 16 says, Jesus referred to himself as Lord of what? And Mark 2:28 says, therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. So Jesus made the statement directly after rebuking the Pharisees for accusing him and his disciples as Sabbath breakers because they were picking wheat kernels, or corn as it's called back then in the Bible, and they were doing this on Sabbath day. I mean, the Pharisees prided themselves on being scholars in the Word, and they expected everyone to bow to their authority, so much so that when they walked up to Jesus picking wheat, they assumed he would bow to their rebuke, thereby making themselves appear powerful in the eyes of those looking on. They certainly didn't expect the Lord's response here, which of course showed they were ignorant of the truth as it was written, and they weren't supposed to be leaders in the truth. They weren't supposed to be leaders in the church. They weren't true Pharisees. I mean, like in the day back then, you had to memorize the Bible cover to cover. If they would have memorized the Bible cover to cover, they wouldn't have had an issue in that area. I mean, if you have read this passage in the Word, you will recall that it is here that Jesus used David's eating of the showbread as a way to illustrate their error when it comes to all things holy. Even though it was not lawful for David to eat that bread, he did so without sin because of his hunger. Okay, it's just like an ox falling in the ditch. I mean, he also showed them how the priests themselves do things on Sabbath day that would be considered profane, but because they were in the service of God, it was okay. And they were found just as blameless as David was when he ate that showbread. I mean, if it's okay for David to satisfy his hunger by eating the showbread, which, as we know, was sanctified and set apart for holy use, then it was perfectly okay for the disciples to satisfy their hunger as well by picking the corn during the sanctified hours of the Sabbath day. I mean, truth is, the priests actually performed much more work on Sabbath day than any other day of the week. To this day, this is my busiest day. The thing is, you know, had that type of work been done in secular business, then yeah, then it would have been sinful. But as we know, the work of the priests was their duty in the service of God. It was a service that he called them to perform. I mean, what the priests did on Sabbath was in harmony with the object of the Sabbath itself, which was, of course, pointing towards the Redeemer, which is Christ the Lord, who's standing there rebuking these Pharisees. But Jesus was now standing before them, and the disciples were doing the work of the Lord just as much as the priests of old did on the Sabbath day. they were engaged in God's service just as much as the priests or even David, who ate the showbread. If they did not satisfy their hunger and eat, they would not be able to accomplish that which they were called to do. I mean, to answer the secular question that arises in some minds, I have to... If Jesus and the apostles were wheat farmers, well then yes, picking the wheat on Sabbath day would have been sinful, because that was their job all week long. But Jesus and the disciples were doing the sanctified work of the Lord. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also loved the Sabbath. But here's the thing, this is what always amazed me about Christians today that use this passage to try to say that Jesus broke the Sabbath so we can't. You have to ask them, okay, so breaking the Sabbath is sin. That means you're telling me Jesus is sinning here. And it also tells me they didn't read the entire passage. Because Jesus proved the Pharisees were wrong. And they took the word of the lying Pharisees over and above the Lord who actually wrote the word that those Pharisees were supposed to be studying. So this is what scares me for a lot of Christians today. They take the word of man, you know, people that come in their own name, rather than he that came in the name of the Father, just like the Bible said they would. So I hope and pray you were blessed. Be back in a minute.